Let's begin with a word of prayer. We're here to pray, and Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you for the exhortation. We thank you for the blessing of prayer. And Lord, we just come to you this morning, and there's such a powerful example, application for us in your word today with regard to prayer. And so help us to glean from that, Lord. And as we prepare for that, we just want to raise our voices in song. And so hear our praise, hear our worship, and hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin with the first and last verse of 82, trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, would you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4? Acts chapter 4, we have just an awesome prayer this morning. I guess I always say that every time. This is an awesome prayer because they all are. But this one has great application for us. The context in Acts chapter 4 is that in the previous chapter, when Peter and John came to the temple, they saw this man who had been lame from birth, and Peter prayed for him, and he was healed. And he starts running around, prancing around the temple, and it made just this great big scene. And so the Sanhedrin, the chief priests and all, they got all excited, I guess, and jealous and all. So they arrested Peter and John. And in verse 3 of chapter 4, they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the evening, or until the next day, for it was already evening. But look at this. Through this disturbance and all, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Now that's an outreach, isn't it? Wow. Yeah. So it came to pass on the next day, now they're going to decide, what are we going to do about this? So the elders and the scribes and Annas and Caiaphas, John and Alexander, all of these top dudes were there, and they met, and they said, now they're going to try to entrap Peter into blasphemy and so forth. So they say, by what power or by what name have you done this? And now look at verse 8. It's a beautiful statement. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of Israel. And he goes ahead and he talks about the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. You will notice that every single sermon of Paul's and Peter's in the book of Acts, almost, I think, without exception, is always includes the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the message. That's the gospel. If we don't give that, we don't give anything, really. And he goes ahead, and so now they still don't know what to do. So in verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. Isn't that something? Does the world look at us that way? Does the world look at us in a way as uneducated, untrained, so to speak? In other words, just simple, ordinary people. And do they realize that we've been with Jesus? Oh, I pray so. Well, they tell them, don't say any more. Now, Peter and John in verse 20 then say, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle was healing had been performed. So here's a guy healed, and what can they say? They can't say it didn't happen because all the people saw it happen. But now notice the apostles here are let go. And notice what they do. Do they go start a petition and protest against the government? No. Do they go into the closet or into the church and fearful and trembling of the government and say, well, we can't proclaim the gospel anymore because the government told us we can't do that? We got a lot of missionaries that today who are really cowed by government statements and so forth, and it's a fine line whether we obey man or whether we don't obey man. And you know the criterion there is if it forces us against the word of God or against our Lord Jesus Christ, we obey him rather than man. But of course, people want to keep their visa status and so forth, and sometimes it's very difficult to make these decisions when to speak up and when to be quiet. But notice what, this is a good application for us as well. Being let go in verse 23, what did they do? They went to their own companions. They went to the body of Christ. They reported all that the chief priests and elders had done. And what happened then? They raised their voice to God with one accord. So they prayed. So here, when they're told not to say anymore, they're going to pray. Now, this is a great prayer. It has about four or five verses here of just the address. Here's the address. Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, Psalm 2, why did the heathens rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. That's the address. Isn't that a great address? One of the themes, the theme of the conference in Hong Kong was an open door, and one of the messages was emphasizing we want to make sure we present an unshrunk Jesus. We want to present a Jesus who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not just a meek, mild man that went around doing good, not just a meek, mild man that went through the hills of Galilee for a few years, but we want to present the risen Savior, don't we? The resurrected Savior, the ascended Savior, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, maker and creator of all things. And this is what they say here, is they're basically addressing, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. We're not mistaking who we're praying to here, are they, or should we be, or did they? And now here's the prayer in verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats. So the first petition there is, Lord, be aware of the threats of the government. They're not hiding that, although the Lord already knows, they're reminding him of it. And now here is a request for granting. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Now, isn't that an awesome prayer in the face of the instruction from the government leaders not to ever speak anything ever again? And what is their prayer? That we may speak with all boldness, exactly opposite what man is saying. And I think that's so often what we as Christians will face. We will face the discouragement from man, and are we going to heed that, or are we going to turn that around with praying for boldness from the Lord? Boldness from the Lord. So this is what they've done. They pray that with all boldness they may speak your word, and then also, Lord, stretch out your hand and heal, because this healing was the thing that promoted this whole kind of an opportunity here. So they're praying for more healing miracles and signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That was Peter's testimony when they say, by what name did you do this? He says, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So they're kind of following through, it seems to me, on that same theme here with that prayer. Stretch out your hands to heal. Signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now notice, when they had prayed, here's what the response was. The whole place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, everybody had been filled with the Holy Spirit just a few days before this, at the day of Pentecost. This is right after that. And here they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and notice what the result then is. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Is that not what our desire for our prayer should be? I think of the leper who was healed early on in Jesus' ministry and was told, don't tell anyone. And it says he spread the word so widely that Jesus couldn't even come into the cities anymore because of so many people wanted to see him. And how opposite that is for us, in a sense, in that we're told to preach the gospel to every creature. We're told to make disciples of all nations, and yet how often do we keep silent? So we're told to proclaim, and we keep silent. In other cases here, they were told to keep silent, but they proclaimed, right? So here they're asking for boldness to speak the word of God with all boldness. And then notice in verse 33, with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Father, we thank you for this great application of prayer here, and we pray for boldness. We pray that our witness would include the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, if you had not risen from the dead, we would have no hope. And, Lord, we look at all of the other systems and religions in the world, all based on the works of man, all based on the here and now. But, Lord, ours is not something based on the here and now. Ours is based on you love us, and you died for us, and you rose again from the dead, victorious over sin and over death. And because you live, we live. And, Lord, you have promised us, if we know that, if we believe that, if we have faith in that, we too will have eternal life with you. And so, Lord, that's what this is all about. The two destinies forever that each of the human beings will go to, either with you or apart from you. And the consequences of that decision are so unbelievably awesome, it makes every other decision in this lifetime totally unimportant, really. Help us to keep the main thing, Lord. Help us not to get so caught up in our own details and discouragements and problems and trials and everything else that we lose sight to why you have us here in the first place. Oh, how the enemy wants us to focus on ourselves, to focus on woe is me and all my problems. And as long as we can keep focused on that, we are almost totally useless to really do what you want us to do. And so, Lord, we pray for wisdom, we pray for discernment, and we pray for boldness, Lord, to proclaim your message with grace. We see great grace was upon them all. Without the gift of grace, without the gift of love, nobody will pay attention to the truth, Lord. But you have not said, go in harsh boldness, go in graceless boldness. But you say, let every word that proceeds out of our mouth give grace to the hearer, Lord. And Lord, here we are this morning with the opportunity to pray. And so we just thank you that you have given us that opportunity. And now as we pray, may we pray even as this account, they were in one accord, quite a large group of people, but they were in one accord, led by one Spirit, that is you, Holy Spirit. And so as you lead us here this morning, may we all be in one accord as we join in responding to your prompting. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.